This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Matt and we are live from the Joy Studios at the magnificent Victorian Pride Centre. And tonight I'm joined by Alex.
Hola.
Hola. And very shortly by Andrew.
Homosexual, gay, queer, lesbian, two-spirit, Soji, friends of Dorothy and Fafini. Fafafini, I always have trouble with that one.
Fafafine.
Fafafine, thank you. LGBTIQIA. All names used at various times by various people to describe our diverse rainbow community. There is no single term that works across the globe, but what does that really matter? And are we leaving behind groups who don't have English as their primary language?
A new Australian initiative to create an LGBTIQA terminology guide in languages other than English is being created by RMIT University in partnership with the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council. It will provide a terminology guide and translator people of multicultural and multi-faith communities. Joining us in the studio tonight is Budi Sidato from the Australian GLBT Multicultural Commission, the AGMC, and Elvira Quintana, a linguist participating in the project. Should we be working towards one overarching name for our community? Do you think we could crack that one? Just one single name rather than LGBTIQAP, all the other bits? Do you think we could do it? Would you use it?
Well, it would be, of course, difficult to find one that probably is inclusive enough, but I suppose queer, in a way, is the closest we've come. Not everyone's happy with that term, I suppose, but I'll leave that to the experts maybe to comment on.
Now we get to welcome to the studio, in the studio with us. It's very exciting having studio guests, let me tell you. Budi Sidato, who's been with on the show before. Welcome back, Budi. Lovely to see you again.
In this beautiful Pride Centre.
It's wonderful, isn't it? And Elvira Quintana, you are a linguist participating with the project. What's your language?
Spanish.
Give us something in Spanish. Say hello in Spanish.
Hola, ¿cómo están? Muchas gracias por la invitación.
Oh, I love it. Alex, did you get that?
Sí.
The rest of us didn't. This sounds like a really intriguing, exciting project. Sounds challenging to me. Can you give us in a nutshell what the project is about, Budi?
Just a nutshell.
Yeah.
Just tiny little bit in a minute. Okay. So RMIT and AGMC, we had been in conversation for a long time about addressing LGBTIQA+ terminology in languages other than English. Then an opportunity to apply for a funding through City of Melbourne came up. So we put a joint funding application, and obviously we got it. And the whole thinking behind the project is recognizing that even using the English language, the terminology is very complex. And when you're trying to translate that to languages that is not English, a lot of the explanation can get lost in translation. There's certain words that don't exist in many languages. There's certain meanings, certain contexts. So we just want to create a bridge between the English language and all these different community languages and try to produce resources so translators and interpreters will have something that they can easily read, easily download, to actually explain what the terminology is and all the cultural complexity that comes with it. So that's in a nutshell Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that's less than 1 minute.
No, that's fine. That's, thinking back to when this first started and your first thought, let's put in for this grant, what were you seeing or what were you hearing from members of the LGBT community who don't have English as their first language?
I think there's still a little bit of confusion, isn't it, Elvira? Even in the, you know, we are still running the project now, and even during the project, we still encounter community members who got absolutely confused, you know. Okay, there is this English language, this English word called dead naming and policing and all the other stuff that Elvira and I discovered today. And, you know, how, and we the two of us just started thinking, how are we going to translate this in our language? And we had to stop and think. So imagine if you are an interpreter, so you're doing a live interpreting service, and all this terminology came up, and you had no idea what that meant. You had no idea how to translate it to your language, and you might actually end up using words that's actually quite disrespectful, not inclusive, words that should not be used because, you know, words change all the time. So we just want to make sure that, you know, people are starting to have that conversation. People who are outside of the community, the LGBTIQA+ community, starting to have that understanding that words change, and there has been new words being developed within the language community, and making sure that they know how to use it, and making sure that they use it with respect and in the spirit of inclusion.
Yes, Elvira, is that ringing bells for you as a
yes,
linguist
definitely.
And interpreter?
I think. From the perspective of RMIT, we are in contact and we hear a lot from the industry and stakeholders who gave feedback about the fact that translators and interpreters might need these resources where they can have free access to a respectful and inclusive language, as Budi was saying. So within RMIT, we provide education and training for the largest range of languages in the country, many of which are low volume, as well as new emerging languages. So we really do take that social responsibility into account and trying to develop resources, but as well creating awareness within the industry for us. And I'm incredibly honored to be working this project because I'm wearing many hats. Like, obviously, my professional hat as a translator, as a linguist, as well as a proud member of the LGBTIQA+ community, and also that intersectionality of my ethnic background. Experiencing all these things and providing these, I believe that I can bring many good things to this project, and as well as obviously learning from what Budi is teaching us. There's a lot of training involved as well for those who participate in the project. So this is something that we take very seriously.
I'm just laughing. It just makes it sound like I'm forcing you to do it.
No, we're loving it. I've learned so much so far. Even as a member of the community, I thought I knew about, and as Budi was saying, language is so complex. It's organic. It evolves. What was relevant last year, it might not be relevant this year. So that's why I think the resources that we develop might grow in the future. So this is not it. This is a conversation that we're starting.
You mentioned emerging languages there. Are we still creating new languages? What's an emerging language?
We are. Like, even if we think about the English language, you know, talking about the terminology, there's always a new terminology came up. And, you know, as a professional and also members of the community, sometimes we can't keep up. We just have to keep updating ourselves. And when we talk about emerging languages, it's more about the communities that's finally making their way to Australia. So we're talking about the migrant communities that has received, you know, if they're seeking asylum, finally got their protection visa. And the numbers might be quite small, but, you know, and they are living in a country that talk quite openly about LGBTIQA+ stuff, especially leading up to the election. And if they have no reference about what it meant, because it wasn't talked about widely in their country of origin, if they didn't know about the language, about what does it mean, you know, what does gay and lesbian? Gay and lesbian is probably the easiest one because a lot of people around the world understand it. But the moment we start to do the B, the T, the I, the A, the Q, and all the other terminologies, and they're going to have young people from their communities talking about this terminology. So we need to constantly updating ourselves and adding more languages as much as we can, because our aim is to make sure that there's no communities being left behind. Within the limitation of the funding, of course.
Our guest tonight is Buddy Sidarto from the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council and Elvira Quintana, a linguist participating in the project. Coming up, we're going to discuss what makes this project so important to so many communities. This is Worldwide Wave,
where our diverse communities can come together. Joy.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
What language do you use when you talk about our community? Is it the rainbow community? Is it the LGBT? Is it LGBTIQ, IQA plus? There's so many.
You said before, Matt, that, you know, you were talking, sorry, our two guests, we're talking about, you know, not necessarily knowing these terms. And I mean, that's nothing new to the mainstream community. I mean, you'll have, ask anyone on the street, they won't know much beyond the LGBT, probably stops there for the vast majority. And I'm curious, as a linguist myself to an extent, the language teacher, look, what words have you found? Like, I mean, I'm guessing you've learned a lot of words as well in various languages for members of our community that are interesting. And is there also a debate in some of the languages looked at between, say, what is politically correct? So I've mentioned queer before. We can use that. But, of course, we don't expect people outside the community to use it towards us because it's obviously it's sensitive. So there's words that community can use for itself, and then there's words outside. I'm curious what you found about different language groups.
You are reading our mind. We just had these discussions because we run a Spanish workshop or a workshop with Spanish-speaking LGBTIQA+. And Elvira, and I look at Elvira at one point and just kind of ask her to contribute, because the word lesbian in English seems to be quite harmless, right?
Yes.
It seems to be quite neutral. We know what it meant. But Elvira, there was a really heated discussion about using the word lesbian in Spanish.
Yes, and I'd like to clarify. I mean, this focus group, I was participating as a translator. So one of my roles was to create minutes, and I was trying to really remain within that role. And I mean, I did say that disclaimer in the focus group, hey, I'm a translator here, but if I can contribute, my personal experience here is that perhaps someone from a Mexican background, i.e. a Spanish-speaking background, might not be entirely comfortable with the word lesbian in Spanish being used. We might prefer gay woman, and especially people from my generations, like the 80s, sexuality, gender identity, it's a big taboo. There's people still who are coming to terms, and the word lesbian in Spanish might not have been reclaimed by the lesbian communities in Spanish-speaking countries. So we have to be real careful, and I think this is part of the biggest underlying beauty of this project. We're not only looking at words and how do they translate. I mean, anyone can use Google Translate or machine translation for certain terminology, but us as translators, we have this responsibility to look beyond what's there in language and find that underlying meaning and what is going to be sensitive and culturally appropriate in some contexts. That's what we're looking for here.
Yeah, so we came up with one way to navigate that complexity is still providing the translation about lesbian to lesbiana, but also with a disclaimer that in certain Spanish-speaking communities, this term has a lot of negative connotation to it. And when you're doing providing translation, then it's best to switch it around between lesbian and gay woman, which is in Spanish. It's completely skipped my mind. What would that be?
Oh, would you like me to say it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mujer gay?
Yeah.
Mujer gay.
That's the word that came up that evening. Yeah. So again, this is not about, Western terminology being translated word per word to different languages, like what Elvira said, it has to be in a context. You know, it has to be culturally safe. If members of the community don't feel that this translation is culturally safe, then it is within our responsibility to provide context, explanation, mm-hmm. even more explanation about why this certain terminology is being used in the English language mm-hmm. and what is the best way to interpret it in different languages.
Does that mean you also discover that there are no words in certain languages for certain new parts of the very extending, getting old, longer acronym?
I think a really good example as well, not only the acronym, but we were talking about dead naming. And I think this is the case for most languages. Dead name is not something that exists within the context of the LGBTIQA community. So what do we do?
Could you explain what that means?
Budiko.
It's probably a difficult question. So dead naming is a name that was given to us at birth based on our assigned sex or gender.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, no, and then for people, you know, I'm non-binary myself, and I chose to keep my name because my name is quite neutral. But mm-hmm. for some transgender diverse, they use different name, or they use their affirmed name to really indicate their gender.
Yes, now I'm I do know that term.
even in English, we're still struggling to it. We're still catching up to it because a lot of the terminologies come up so quickly.
Who are the kinds of people who are going to make use of this guide? So we've kind of got the interpreters, but is it targeting the broader community? Will the broader, you know, non-English speaking communities be able to pick this up and find value in it?
Yes, certainly. The resources will be for translators and interpreters, and this is how we're thinking of developing it. I mean, the part of the research project is creating a terminology that can be used by translators and interpreters, but it will be a free access for all, so anyone from the communities, language communities, can access the resources once they're ready and all the terminology.
And even members of our own communities, so multicultural LGBTIQA+, you know, they pick it up and they're like, oh, okay, so I understand that in English, but I never really understood it. But now I actually understand it in my language, so it's easier. And they might pick it up and give it to their family and their relatives and their friends, saying, this is what I meant when I said this. And they're like, ah, okay, it makes sense. A lot of local councils actually been very interested in this because they see the opportunity for these resources to be made available for people who are accessing their services and for their staff as well. You know, it's all part of this concept of cohesion. You know, we are about trying to make sure that members of the community, regardless where they came from, are understanding about LGBTIQA+. They understand the importance of inclusion. And one way to do that is by making sure that they actually understand what it meant. And when you understand what it meant, then it's easier to start the discussion about inclusion and diversity.
And the languages you're covering, at least in this first project, Vietnamese, Spanish, Mandarin, Cantonese, Korean and Arabic.
Yes.
Why those ones?
Why those ones? From very, very long discussions and meetings, and we only have enough funding to create 10 to 12 resources for all different languages. So we look at City of Melbourne as our funder. We look at the demographic data. We kind of said, okay, these are the groups that's there. Then we go back to the LGBTIQA+ community. We're like, okay, so which groups that actually need these resources the most? So we just came up with those six, and there will be another 4 to 6 languages coming up in the second half of the year.
Our guests are Budi Sidato from the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council and Elvira Quintana, a linguist participating in the project. Coming up, we'll be discussing what this means for the broader LGBTI community around the world. This is Worldwide Wave.
Joy! Out! Loud! Proud!
This is Dr. Sean Cole from London College of Fashion. Some things go out of style, but Worldwide Wave never does. You're on Joy 94.9.
Special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcasts automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwide wave or iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a review.
And don't also forget that Joy is a community organization, and we run off the strength of volunteers. We've got about 250 odd volunteers.
What? I'm not being paid.
No. sure the check's in the mail. We're always looking for new volunteers, always welcoming new volunteers. You know,
I'm a volunteer. I volunteer to read the news, and I'm finding it really rewarding. I started in October last year, and I write the bulletins and met a lot of new people, and here I am on the radio now too.
And I started on front desk.
Did you really?
I was receptionist for a while back in the city, and then news reading and podcasting, and then here.
So you don't know where it's going to take you.
Exactly.
And we've got lots of behind-the-scene team as well. And as you said, people who just look after the front desk and keep things moving. So lots of opportunities. We have a monthly information session. You can register your interest at joy.org.au. That's joy.org.au, and look under the volunteer tab.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Our guests tonight are Budi Sidato from the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council and Elvira Quintana, who is a linguist participating in this very, very intriguing project around the language, the terminology of our community.
Now, I had a question following on. We've talked earlier about the different communities and diverse, Arabic, Korean, and the others, and just curious, how did you find the experience of liaising with these, finding members of those language communities who identify as part of our community?
Lots and lots and lots of email. Lots of email. Email every single council and organizations that we can think of, a little bit of a nudging with friends, kind of go, hey, do you want to, like, you know, please. But it has been interesting to try to get community members to be involved, because, you know, and we talk off air about some of the community languages are actually quite difficult to be involved. You know, people would have thought that Arabic would be the most difficult ones. It was actually Korean. We are struggling, still until today, struggling to get participants from the Korean community who identify as LGBTIQA+ to be part of the project. And interestingly enough, the people who have signed up from the Korean community, they live either interstate or overseas. So there was no one in Victoria who is like Korean and LGBTIQA+. Yeah,
you go to the CBD and you can't help but fall over a Korean grill, a Korean barbecue restaurant on every corner.
Did you try that, Budi?
Yeah. Yeah, but then, you know, I have limited budget. You know, I can't spend it all on food.
You can just door knock.
Door knocking. Yes.
Is that maybe something to do with the cultural sensitivities of a willingness to talk about LGBT issues in Korean culture?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of the Korean culture, but we started to get a sense that sexuality and gender is something that's quite private. So we started getting a sense that maybe that's where some of the hesitancy is, and maybe why some people who live interstate or overseas actually want to contribute to this project, because they're not seen in Melbourne. Yes, they're not part of the Victorian Korean community. So for them, it feels safe. And look, we allow that and we understand exactly why, because Elvira and I, at one point, we've been in that shoes. We've been in that position where we felt that we have to limit our movement, we have to limit our interaction with the LGBTIQA+ community because we don't want people to know. And, you know, and you can...
I mean, and even working, say, in a professional capacity, myself as a translator and interpreter, I work with the Spanish-speaking community, in some cases the elderly, who will not understand if I say to them, oh, I don't have a husband, because they ask me all the time, like, do you have a husband? Do you have children? Well, yes, I have a child, but I don't have a husband. I have a partner, you know. That is something that you always contend with in any capacity. And I think you guys can probably relate to that too as well, within your own professional environments. And anyone who's listening has always had to ask themselves a question, do I have this conversation with this person or not, or move on to a different topic?
And that's a great one you raise, because I know from speaking German and French that it is not easy. You self-identify, but there's no neutral word partner.
Yes, exactly.
In Spanish, no doubt the same. So you have to eventually give away the gender of your partner. So you can't have it. A lot of languages don't have a neutral term.
And very quickly as well, because we had this conversation even downstairs. The pronouns is still an issue, especially in Spanish. And the workshops we run in Spanish, Mandarin, and Vietnamese, and all three different language groups are stuck when it comes to pronouns.
Yeah.
How do we use they? You know, and I'm someone whose pronoun is they and he. So I'm like, so if I introduce myself to members of your community, how would you refer me? And we had a long conversation, and in Spanish it's
I think the focus group in Spanish, largely like the main topic of that was pronouns. We're such a heavily gendered language. Yeah. There's not such a thing as gender neutrality. Yeah. You have to specify even for the things that we use, like the table cannot be masculine. It has to be feminine. You know, and you understand from speaking French and German. Yes. I mean, in German, at least you've got a neutral.
You don't use that for anything but animals, so it's
you go.
Maybe there should be a partner word that is the neuter gender, but yes, it's an interesting one because it's always like I've always wondered, it's so hard because you just can't but give away the gender of your partner. And if you're trying to be discreet, you know, partner's a great word in English. Most people kind of tend to work out, you know, that you mean male partner or female partner, depending, like, but still you can at least hide a little bit behind the neutrality of gender, of the word partner.
Yes, if you choose to. I think it's such an interesting conversation, the gender
in the focus group, because the focus group involves members of the community who's telling us a lot of this information. And, you know, we kept, especially with the Spanish community, we just kept talking about, you know, there is development in the Spanish language about using the, an E? To indicate neutrality, but not many people.
There's a new tendency.
Even people in the focus groups, not all of them like that idea because it has to change the whole sentence structure. And as a non-Spanish speaker, I was just sitting there thinking, this is brilliant. This is gold. Like, this is why we have you around here. And that's what Elvira said before. Language changed so quickly. But we also know as migrant in this country, we don't always up to date with the development that exists in our country. So when Elvira said working with elderly communities, trying to explain it when their vocabulary is probably still from back in the days, and you know, and there's no need for them to actually update their vocabulary. So this is where the project is going to come in.
Could we ever simplify it just down to one term across the broader community, do you think?
Never.
Elvira, from your experience, do you think we could ever simplify it in that way?
No, I think we should just keep adding on to more letters.
Have the whole alphabet.
Have it in there. I was going to mention the one of the really great things about the project as well is that richness that all the community members bringing to the discussion. So this is not about translators and interpreters developing their own resources, but it is about bringing community members who bring the resources to life. So actually developing something that is going to be useful and relevant. That's what's important.
Wonderful. And the City of Melbourne is supporting this.
Yes,
and if anybody knows anyone that is in the LGBT community in Korean, how do people find out more about the project?
Not in Korea.
Not in Korea. No.
So Korean-speaking, Arabic-speaking, and Cantonese-speaking LGBTIQA+ community members, they can email me, budi@agmc.org.au, or we have a Facebook page as well, so AGMC Translation Project, and that's where they can find out.
We'll get that from you. We'll put it on our Facebook page as well so people can go to W3G, find it there. Nice and easy. Budi Sidarto from the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council and Elvira Quintana, a linguist and interpreter. Thank you so much for coming in to tell us about your project, and we look forward to seeing the final result.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
From coming out to reaching out, fighting for change or battling to be heard. These are the stories of the diverse rainbow community from across the globe. Coming to you from Australia's LGBTIQ radio station, Joy.
Hola a todos. Hello, everyone. This is Sergio Tobar Velarde from Mexico City, director of the film Four Moons. And I want to say hello to everyone listening through Joy 94.9.
Listen live or on demand from wherever you are in the world. Stream us live on joy.org.au or subscribe on iTunes or your favourite podcast platform to World Wide Wave.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, Budi Sidarto from the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council, and Elvira Quintana, a linguist participating in the project, and also Miranda Lay, the project coordinator, who helped us set up this interview tonight. You can find out more on Facebook, search AGMCRMIT Translation.
And we want to thank people who sent us Facebook messages. There was Lana, Stefan, Jennifer, David, and a heap more who've joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And behind the scenes, thank you to our podcaster Peter and social media master Dean.
And we'll be back next week with more World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.